Hey, it's Roy Richardson, the Tech Troublemaker, your friendly neighborhood Tech Troublemaker. And tonight, I'm really excited. I have a guest on tonight. I have a guest. Isn't that amazing? No, anyway, that's not the amazing part. My guest tonight is Colter Reed, who is a productivity specialist. And we're going to talk tonight about how to life hack your email so that you can be productive and that's not the time suck that email is. So, Colter, say hello.
There we go. Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. Look at your website. I was just impressed with all the different things that you do to try to boost productivity. And so I said, hey, let's do a show where we talk about email, because unfortunately, I am a very email-centric person. I believe I can run the world through email. That may not be true.
A lot of us certainly try to. It seems some days like email rules the world, and email is the world, and there's nothing else but email.
But I love email. So I was really excited. Email's been, so this is funny to me, but I have had a Hotmail account since before Microsoft bought Hotmail.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking.
Yep. So did I?
Probably, I don't know. It's definitely 20 plus years. I don't want to do the math and tell people how old I really am. So I'm just going to
now,
leave it
now be. Do you still use that account?
I do, actually.
Wow. Okay. I don't. I don't even know how to get into that account anymore.
Oh, I don't know why. It's a source of pride for me, even though I would never use that email out in public. I use it for junk mail.
Okay. So, yeah.
Stuff I want to subscribe to that I sort of want to know about, but I don't really want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had a Gmail account back when it was invite only. So I'm nice. Pretty proud about that too. So it was a good time. Nice. Of course, I also did Google Plus, and I had a huge following on Google Plus. So I was devastated when it went away. I had like 2,000 plus followers out there. So,
oh, wow.
I was devastated anyway.
Wow.
So
yeah, I didn't get my first email. I think my first email was when I went off to college. The university issued one to everybody. And now, my kids are, in elementary school, and they have email addresses through the school.
Yes, my first college email is how I got into Facebook before it was a thing. I have a habit of being an early adopter. Yeah, I'm an OG on a lot of stuff that probably now is not really something I should brag about. So it's just, hey, let's go see what this does. Let's go check out MySpace anyway. No, let's don't. So anyway,
I was never on MySpace.
I was, but nothing to brag about. So, all right. Yeah. As I like to say, we're going to talk. We have 10 tips for how to boost your productivity with email. So yes, let's get out there. Yeah.
All right.
And as I like to say, let's hit the boards. So here we go. How to be more productive with your email. So the first one, limit your exposure and notifications. This, you're still in charge of your attention. So why don't I want to be notified 100 times that I got an email?
Oh, because every time you get one of those little dings or a pop-up that comes up, it draws your attention away from whatever you're doing to, oh, here's this other thing I have to deal with. That it's designed to get your attention. This ding goes off. It sounds like breaking glass. We're attuned to that. Something flashes up on screen. Like, ooh, shiny, squirrel. And we get disrupted. When you get out of the flow, it takes you longer than you realize to actually get back into the flow. People have studies have shown that, if you're working, you're in the zone, you're being productive, you're getting things done, you're doing your job, and somebody comes by to ask you a quick question. It takes you 20 to 25 minutes to recover from that interruption and get back into the same sort of flow state that you were in before. And so if you're, sitting there working and, these notifications are going off, whether it's email or for anything else, those notifications have that same drag on your ability to focus. And you're going to get less work done. It's going to take you longer to do worse work.
It's bad, but every time that bell goes off, I salivate like Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
I got email. And I also want to sing the Blue's Clues song that I just got a letter, but I try not to do that. And that was my notification alert there for a brief period of time, but I've gotten away from that. I've moved beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Check email. Oh, go ahead. You have another point?
I was just going to say, well, I mean, one of the things that you can do and that makes a huge difference is just, you know, take email off of your phone. You know, there's no reason that your phone needs to be constantly grabbing your attention for incoming emails. I mean, if you only do email on your phone, okay, that's one thing. But if you do email at your computer, just leave email on your computer. Because, you know, how many times are you out and you've got that 2 minutes that you've forgotten how to be bored? And so you pull your phone out to check email while you're, you know, in line at the grocery store. And you see an email and like, oh, yeah, I should take care of that as soon as I get back to my desk. And now the whole drive home, you're thinking about that email rather than enjoying singing along with the song on the radio or something.
That's true. I usually wake up in the middle of the night checking my email, though. That, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not good.
Sleep.
Sleep's overrated. You can't get anything done when you're sleeping. I'm convinced of that. So I know it's good for you, though. Anyway, so next, check email on a defined schedule. Even when email is your job, you have other things to do. So this is an interesting concept to me. So let's talk about this. Why on a schedule?
Okay. So do you want to start off with why this is hard, or and then I'll tell you why it's okay, or do you want me to explain why this is a good idea? Then explain why it's not possible.
you go first. Pick your favorite.
Okay. So for most of us, email is not our job. It's part of our job, but it's how we communicate. It's not everything about our job. And so the more time we spend in email, the less time we're spending doing the other parts of our job. And even if you're in a position where email is a large part of your job, like, you know, if you're working in customer service or tech support or an administrative assistant or something where you need to be very responsive over email, that's probably not the only thing that you've been hired to do. And there are other things that you need to do in order to get your job done. And so, you know, email may be a large part of it, but there's still non-email things you need to do. You know, we were just talking about notifications and the constant barrage of notifications that are happening. One of the worst things you can do to destroy your focus is to sit there and work with your email app still open, because then you're writing something, you're being creative, you're programming, you're doing whatever, and then you've constantly got these dings and notifications popping up on your screen. Like, ooh, here, pay attention to me. This is this other thing that you need to do. You're working on one thing that you're trying to get done, and other people, completely random people, are trying to send you stuff like, hey, I need you to do this. I mean, just imagine if people were walking by your office to talk to you with that much, with that frequency, you'd never get anything done, would you?
I'm addicted to email, though.
Oh, I'm a recovering email addict. I mean, I used to do this. I used to have it, you know, even at home, I would have email up and running on the iMac over in the corner. And with, you know, the alerts would pop up and it would go ding when messages came in. And I used to pride myself on how responsive I would be. You know, I'd be sitting there, I'd be across the room on the couch watching TV with my wife, and the computer would go ding. And now I can't think of anything else except, ooh, what was that? The show's good and all. I love you, honey, but it went ding.
I got to check this.
And I got to check it. I got to check it. And I go over, I'd get up off the couch where I was all nice and comfortable. I'd untuck myself in the blankets, figure out where to set down the bowl of popcorn. And I go over and, you know, I check the message, like, oh, this is just what came in. Okay, let me respond to that. And I would get right back to that. I turn it around within minutes of when I got it. And then I would go back to watching the movie. I don't like doing that. If I am doing email, I will open up email. Otherwise, I'm not running the app. When I do get, you know, when it is time for me to do email, one of the common things I will do is I will take the mail client offline. The mail app just has a mode where you can tell it to go offline and it will stop checking for new messages. Okay. I don't know if you've ever tried shoveling the walk while it's still snowing, but you don't want to get to one end of the sidewalk, turn around and, oh, just have to start going back the other way now because it's just covered with snow again. You know, you want to be able to get in, do email, and then get out and do something else. So go offline, respond to emails, process things, sort things, file them, reply. And, you know, you can reply. You can work just like you normally would, but your computer will queue up everything that you need to do until you're done and you tell it, okay, now send and receive emails. And then everything that you just sent will get flushed from the outbox. It'll actually send it, and then it will pull in new stuff. And the trick is to go ahead and, you know, check for new messages without actually seeing what it pulls in. Just tell it to send and receive. Oh, new stuff came in. Okay, quit. I'll take care of that later. Even if email is a major part of your job, you can still kind of protect your attention and focus by setting up email-free zones in your in your schedule. Periods where you are going to shut off email, you're going to just kind of take a step back and focus on the non-email parts of your job, so that they don't suffer just because there was a lot of activity happening on email today. You still had protected time where you could get other things done.
I was going to say, it doesn't snow where I'm at, so that concept of shoveling snow has no concept to me. So
I remember snow. I grew up with snow.
Yeah, it snows a half an inch here. We shut everything down because we have no clue how to drive in it. So it's just, and we go buy up all the milk and bread, which obviously we're doing French toast. I don't know what that's all about. So anyway, let's go. We got a bunch of folks that are talking to us. Let's go find out what they're all talking about here. So, all right, let's see. Starting top. Hey, Marcus. Shout out, Dave. Appreciate that.
Sarah/Caleb.
Help with any email. Yes. So he definitely wants some help with email. Hey, Coulter. From Marcus at Big Red. Hey, Roy. I said, Marcus says, I made my first email account in an internet coffee. I think cafe. He means like a cafe. Yeah, a coffee cafe. Yeah.
Some languages, they're the same word.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. Cafe. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see. Why is our first email address so cringy today?
My first email address was a word that I made up.
Oh, was it?
I'm not going to admit that.
Oh, okay. All right. Nope, that's all good. I've had several interesting domains over the years, and I had email addresses for them. And, and then, hey, somebody, Caleb is shouting out to you there. And also, thank you, Caleb, for coming by. Big Red says, does the new features on iPhones help with the intake of notifications? So that's probably a topic for a different episode, but definitely there are
short
definitely...
answer, yes. Yes. Yes, it does. In fact, one of the things I've noticed since upgrading to iOS 15 is that I'm having fewer calls coming through to actually ring the phone from spam. It's doing a really good job of just suppressing those so they don't even interrupt me now. And a lot of the notifications from just random apps get held back to wait until later, until like the next time I pull out my phone to check it for something else, then I'll see these notifications. But if I'm trying to get something done, my phone's not buzzing in my pocket, the watch isn't tapping me and dinging at me. iOS 15 does a much better job of helping you manage the notifications.
It's the focus option. You can go in there and literally say, like, this is my work focus, and you can tell what apps can bug you during work focus, and then personal time, you can say what apps, and then sleep time. And so, yes, you can definitely control what notifies you.
And you can do custom notifications. So, like, I'm streaming. I could do a focus for I'm streaming now and set up whatever rules and behaviors I need with that.
Which reminds me, I usually always turn on Do Not Disturb on my Mac whenever I'm doing streaming. So good thing to remember there.
Let me make sure that I think I turned it on. I did. But even then, I usually have, messages up because there are a couple of people that, will need to, may need to text me urgently during the stream to, let me know of urgent issues. I want to be able to, to catch those. Silent, turn off all notifications except for text messages from these people.
Right. I do the same thing. You set up a favorites and you say you allow these folks to come through no matter what on your focus time. And that way, I have the same thing. My day job requires me to be on call. And so, Yeah, there's a guest list of people that I unfortunately allow to talk to me anytime, day or night. And then fortunately there's a list of people who also can talk to me anytime, day or night. So yeah. let's see. And Sarah said, yep, she said she forgot to change profiles.
So she's impersonating.
She's impersonating online. Herself. By the way, you should go to her channel. Just a fabulous channel on how
she's
to.
Awesome.
She is to declutter your life.
Yeah.
I am trying to figure out how to get organized enough so that I can become organized.
Are you signed up for her challenge that's taking place next month?
I haven't signed up yet. I've heard about it, and so obviously I need to go and give it time. And then Sarah shouts out to Marcus. Hey there. And then, yeah,
Marcus, I don't want to think about what time it is for Marcus.
I don't think he sleeps. I am convinced that Marcus does not sleep.
It's just whether he runs out of, has he run out of coffee?
Yeah, there's been a couple, I've wanted to have him as a guest on my show. I was a guest on his show, but he was like, at least during daylight hours, well, evening hours on when he was doing his show. But I'm like, I don't want to have him be awake in the middle of the night for me. I'm not worth it. I'm just not worth it. Anyway. And blind guy and his wife and her life says it's true. It is so hard to refocus after notifications that you mentioned. There's so many studies that when we get distracted, if we're doing something that is very, it's focused and you're trying to really dig into details and you get distracted, or when you're back in the office and we're not all working remote, those drive-by people, we call it, those drive-bys that come by and tap you on the shoulder. Hey, Roy, can you help me with this? I'm like, I'm really doing something important here right now, but okay, sure. Let me help you set up your notifications on your phone so you get dings for all your emails. No, anyway, Big Red says ADHD and dings on the phone are terrible. So yeah, definitely look into focus mode on your iPhone if you have an iPhone. Google Android phones also have something similar. It's sure. Kind of like that was a feature that Android phones had before iPhones did. So it was kind of like Apple barred that feature and then improved it. So kudos to iPhone on that one. And then Marcus says shouts out to Sarah. And then Marcus agrees, of course, Sarah is awesome. There's a lot of awesome people here, by the way. Insider secret emails are one of the challenge days.
Ooh.
There we go. So there you go. Okay. So if you're taking Sarah's challenge.
Email clutter is a thing.
Email clutter is a thing. I'm a digital hoarder. So
yeah.
I just got notified today that my 2 terabytes with Google Drive is at 80%, 81%. So I may have to find my video journey is added to that. You guys are the sweetest. Okay. Yeah. And then he says, and the blind guy says, I get distracted easily. One ping and it's over. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So let's go back.
How many times do you pull out your phone to do something and then, you've got these red bubbles all over the place. Like, let me see what this bubble is. Oh, let me see what this bubble is. And you go through, you clear the red bubbles, and then you put your phone away, and, I got my phone out to do something. And so you pull it back. I have done this dance like 3 or 4 times in a row.
It's like gamification to me. I have to go and slide every one of these notifications away. I can't stand for there to be any notifications on my phone screen at all. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy. So let's go back to the boards and talk about more ways we can make email kinder and gentler to us. So next up, number 3, use the one touch rule. So this is a new one. So is this something I can handle now? If no, create a task for it. If yes, do it now. Archive it if you absolutely need to keep it. There's lots of times I get stuff that's just FYI, but I know somebody's going to ask me about it later. I don't have any actual items on it, but I know somebody's going to ask about it later, so I archive it. And if it's junk, send it to spam. Make it go away.
If it's actually junk, I mean, if it's something you signed up for at one point, unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Yes.
Don't mark it as junk unless it's actually spam.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, kind of the principle here is, don't check email unless you're willing to do something about it. If you just have a minute or two and you're bored, you just want to see if anything new's come in, but you're not going to do anything about it, don't pull email out.
I know it's supposed to be a feature, but I use the snooze option way more than I probably should in my email.
Snooze on email?
Yes.
Oh, I love snooze on email.
No, because
it's
I'll
a fantastic
snoozing.
Feature.
I'll keep snoozing. It's just like waking up in the morning. Oh, hit snooze. Sleep in some more.
No,
snooze.
It's I love that tool. I mean, you know, you get a message and like, okay, I can't do anything about this right now, but you know, Thursday at 2 o'clock would be a great time for me to have received this message. So, okay, let me just use this news feature to rewrite the laws of time and space and pretend that I received this email on Tuesday or on Thursday at 2 p.m. It's a fantastic feature. I do that all the time.
It's great if you're not a procrastinator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a procrastinator, so.
Yep.
Number four, reply within 24 hours. Acknowledge that you got their email. If you can't act on it right away, set their expectations. There's nothing worse than sending an email into a black hole and not getting any reply back whatsoever. And do this. Acknowledge the email that you get and say, you know, I can't do anything about this right now because of whatever. And set their expectations and say, okay, when I have time, I'll take care of this is what I'll do. And if you leave it in your inbox more than 24 hours, the chances are slim you'll go back to it. For me, it's probably 6 hours. If it's been in my inbox more than 6 hours, I probably never will go back to it. I'm just not a good person.
How many messages do you have in your inbox?
Right now, it says I have about 11,000 unread messages.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So they get buried. You have more, new messages come in and the old mails get buried.
Plus, we're in the middle of changing email systems. We went from one platform to another. And the bright side is that there's been big delays on getting some of my emails. And so by the time they get there, it's too late. You missed that opportunity when I was going to read it. It's over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that can actually be a very liberating thing when you go through and like, oh, here was this email that I should have responded to within a couple of hours. And it's been 3 months now. And if I reply at this point, it's just going to embarrass both of us, but mainly me. So no, I'm just going to sweep this under the carpet. And if it was important, they would have reached out again.
That's always a hope. There's been a couple of times where I've gotten emergency emails and I just didn't see them for a week or two. And then I sure hope that emergency worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens too. Now, do you use red receipts?
I don't.
Because it seems like that would be a very automatic, you know, automated sort of way to handle that, acknowledging that you got the email.
I actually turn that off. And there's a couple reasons. One is it verifies to spammers that you indeed received the email and that your email is a valid email address. So that's counterproductive. I don't want to open up spam. But then on the other side, it's so easy to turn read receipts off and on. And so people can say, well, I didn't get your email. So it's not consistently adhered to. So therefore I turn it off. How about yourself? Do you take advantage of read receipts?
No, I don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Email by design, email is an asynchronous communication system. You know, you send me a message, it will get to me at some point, and then I will process it and respond to you. You know, if a response is necessary at some point, if it's something that's urgent, then okay, yeah, I'll try to get to it sooner. But I saw this in the show notes. And I was trying to think, when was the last time I actually replied to an email to say, yep, I got your email. Let me think about that and I'll get back to you tomorrow.
Right.
Or something. And I can't remember the last time I did that. I mean, if anything, it's because if you think about, okay, email is the 21st century version of mail and writing letters to people. I mean, it's kind of a weird workflow if you think about snail mail. That like, oh yeah, I have received your letter. You know, dear sir, I have received your letter. I will ponder the matter extensively and reply to you when I have something more intelligible to say. Yours truly, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, send that back to them, and then the next day, 24 hours, the next day, send them a real letter back. I don't know.
Where's the Pony Express when you need them?
So. Yeah. And I was wondering, like, okay, so like, oh, here's this important question that I have for Roy. Let me send him an email. Boom. Oh, Roy just got right back to me with an answer. Roy's fantastic. Roy brushed me off for a day. Okay, well, thanks, Roy.
I'm sorry. I do that a lot to people. I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
Yeah, you know, it's creating more email that people have to process.
I do like the emails. You'll send somebody a message, and then they'll say thank you, and you know, so but luckily they'll put like EOM, you know, end of message. So yeah. You know, I don't need to go in there and look at
that. That's a handy trick. I also realized that with a lot of people, I have developed the habit of just skipping over the first paragraph of their response. Because the first paragraph is just not relevant to anything else. It's the pleasantries. It's the, you know, blah, 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 blah. I want to make you feel good that I'm responding to you. And then the second paragraph, now I'm going to tell you the bad news. Now here's the real answer. And I don't know. Some people have just trained me. Like I don't even read the first paragraph. I just skip straight to the second paragraph. And then if there's something there that doesn't make sense, then I might circle back. Okay. Did I miss something in the first paragraph?
I do something similar. I actually will do, I'll literally say, this is my TLDR version, and I'll do bullet points at the top of the email. Mm-hmm. And then if you need more context, read the paragraphs after. I do that because I have a lot of, my day job, a lot of higher ups, and their time is valuable, they tell me. And so therefore I want to support that and make it real quick. Here's what you need to know. Here's the FYI part. And then here's why all this is a problem. And this is what you'll be looking for later when your higher up asks you, why the heck did that happen? Here's the detail. You don't need it now, but later you will. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to come back and say, hey, Tech Troublemaker, what is this all about? So
anyway. That sounds like you have a really good understanding, you know, grasp of, you know, of your client's needs.
You know, I've done this game a while. So anyway. Let's go. We got a lot of people out there tonight. So let's go see who else is out there talking to us. So let's see. Sarah says she's married to a digital hoarder. That's why she has a Synology NAS. That's a really nice NAS, by the way.
Oh, I just got one of those. Like Black Friday.
Yeah.
Black Friday. I just got one. Set it up. But like the 920 plus. Yeah. With 18 terabytes of storage. Way more storage than I actually need right now. I'm using like 2% of it. But I figure if I'm going to set this up, I'm going to set it up with room to grow. Yeah. And so, yeah, max it out. And
okay.
Yeah.
Probably and top for another show. RAID 1, RAID 5, or RAID 10. What'd you pick?
Oh, yeah. Or the you know, or some, or like, you know, Synology's, you know, custom weirdo hybrid RAID thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've got a file share on there. I've got the Plex server running on there. I cannot get my TV shows tagged properly. They show up as some weird foreign. I've got like 58 seasons of some weird foreign TV show.
Doctor Who?
Because I have not figured out how to tag these files properly.
Okay. Anna says, hello, guys. Hey, Anna.
By the way, Anna.
Yeah. Anna, and here's Marcus. These are all guys. They're all folks who are in our 13 Days of Christmas. Coulter was in our 13 Days of Christmas. He may not want to confess that now, but yeah, I feel digital hoarding is okay as long as you find what you need. Yeah, I'm with you. Sarah says hi. Shout out to Anna. Good vibes. Coulter, you have a great voice. That is definitely true. Let's see, Big Red. Aren't there certain ways that you can tell your email to send certain things to junk mail or trash? And yes. We'll actually talk a little bit about that later when I get to later steps. I'm gonna wait,
and we'll. Yeah. Short answer, yes.
Short answer, yes. More detail to follow. Marcus says, if I'm in the CC, the mail lands in a separate folder. That's a good idea. Of course, I know some people that don't understand the concept of CC. I've had stuff where I was the CC, but all the action items were for me.
Yeah,
that's not how CC works, but okay, or not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people understand that. You know, get the CC proper. You know, get the CC right.
CC is FYI.
FYI. Two, you need to do something. CC, FYI.
Yeah,
you don't need to do anything, but I want to let you know.
Yeah, Roy's going to do something hopefully, and I'm just going to tell you that I asked Roy to do something. So, so he can't say I didn't tell him. So, Big Red says, have you ever missed an important email because it's sandwiched between useless email? Yes, every day of my life. How about you, Coulter?
It happens. I try not to do too much where I select a block of messages and delete them without checking them. One of the things that I will do, I use Airmail for checking mail. And one of the things that I love about about airmail is when you're viewing an email, you can hit the equals key and it will select every other message in that folder. So, you know, in the inbox, from that same sender.
Wow.
And so like, if it's been a couple of days since I've checked email and now, you know, here's some, marketing email from PGA Tour Superstore, cause they send me emails once or twice a day cause I buy stuff for them for some reason. Then I get, you know, like, okay, I get to one of their messages, hit equal, it selects all 6 or 20 of their emails in the inbox and then hit delete them all at once. And so it's a little bit safer than going through and just kind of scanning and looking like, okay, this is, you know, this is advertising, this is advertising, this is advertising, this is, these are all advertising and nope. And here was the, you know, was one that you actually needed to pay attention to. Now having said that, it is entirely possible that I am deleting these emails left and right, and I'm just not aware of it.
Anna says sometimes I'm so fast deleting stuff that I have to go retrieve from the trash.
Oh, undo.
Yeah.
If you can undo and bring it back, I need to do that frequently. Yeah.
In a past life, I was an Microsoft Exchange administrator, and I had a user call me, and they were so mad at me because they said I was deleting all their emails, and it turns out they had written a rule to filter their email and had successfully told it to delete every email message they received.
I love it.
That was my fault, of course. But anyway.
Because you're the one who understands computers.
It's my fault. So anyway, but luckily, you know, recovered delete items. I had it set for like a week, so we were able to get the last week back. But this has been happening so long that she had emails we couldn't get back. So I'm like, I can't believe you didn't call somebody before this. Wouldn't you have noticed you didn't have any emails? But anyway, my fault. So yeah.
What would it be like to actually go through a day of work without getting any email messages?
Here's Paul Burke doing some improv. I love that dandruff background. I'm going to need some context, man. I'm going to need some context, Paul. You're going to have to come back. What's going on, two of my favorite dudes? Hey, Steve. Hey, I got a shirt you might recognize tonight, Steve. I just thought I'd say that. So anyway.
Yeah. He noticed.
He noticed. He did notice that. Yeah, if we have the... Okay, ooh, so Sarah has 12. The 15-12 plus. There's a plus. I don't know if the plus
Sarah,
makes a difference.
Sarah with the flex.
There you go. Yeah. But if you're editing video, you literally need like all the storage in the world. So,
yeah. I'm so glad that I actually got Ethernet run, last year so that, yeah, I can try, you know, so I've got at least 1 gigabit, to the NAS in the next room. Cause it's 10 times faster than Wi-Fi. Now that I'm regularly tossing 10, 20, 30 gigabyte files around the house.
I have a really extensive mesh network in my house. Mm-hmm. It's not too shabby, so I can sling big files and it goes pretty well. In fact, I can actually be halfway down the road and I still have Wi-Fi, so my kids will be on YouTube and then we'll almost be out of the neighborhood and then suddenly YouTube stops. So, anyway.
Oh, Spark is an awesome email client. For a long time, I was going back and forth between Spark and Airmail. Mm-hmm. Airmail has better keyboard shortcuts. They both have awesome integrations with other apps, like, you know, to get information out of email and into the rest of your system. Mm-hmm. The one thing I don't like about Airmail that Spark does much better is pulling down new messages. Mm-hmm. Because I do, you know, quit my email client so much. You know, when I open it up, it will, you know, Airmail will take a minute or two sometimes before it actually pulls down the new messages from the server that have arrived. Spark is much faster about that. You know, if you leave your email running all the time, then it doesn't really matter. You know, because, you know, you're doing other stuff and it pulls them down. And so when you go and check, they're there, but I don't do that. I quit the app. And so it has to start up all the time. Yeah. And yeah, that's my one complaint about Airmail.
Blind guy says, I try to delete, unsubscribe and categorize my email. It's like Jack's Beanstalk. So monumental.
Yeah. There are services that try to analyze, like, you know, what emails you actually pay attention to. The creepy thing about them is that you have to give them, access to your account, and so it comes down to how much you trust them.
And I don't.
But you know, they'll try to pay attention to signals like how quickly do you delete emails from this sender when they come in? And if they can tell that you're always deleting them without reading them, then they start suppressing them for you.
Yeah. Well, and Gmail does some of that too now, because strangely, like the other day, it asked me, did I want to unsubscribe from Target? Well, I just ordered something. It says, you never read Target emails. Well, that's weird, because I just ordered some Christmas presents from Target. So I'm reading some of their emails, obviously, but anyway.
Yeah.
And Paul says, oh, the snowflake background you had about a minute ago. Don't worry, it'll be back. I'll bring back the snowflake. And Steve says, Roy's new rap song, I can sling big files, I cannot lie. That's right. So, yes, that is true. And then Sarah says, for me, the delegation and chat features on Spark are so helpful. So,
you've actually got multiple people who are using Spark together.
She has an empire. She runs a small empire where she goes and declutters people.
Yeah.
It would take an empire to probably declutter me, so... anyway, Big Red says, if they know your email address is active, could junk companies give it to other junk companies? How can you stop things like this? You can't.
Yes, they can. And yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
There are laws kind of out there for, you know, preventing spam, but it's so prevalent. It's so easy to spoof email addresses too. So I've had people call me up and say, why are you sending me spam? Why are you sending me viruses? I'm like, somebody has spoofed my email address. It is not me. I did not send that to you. I definitely would not send that to you. It's a nightmare. You just, luckily Gmail and Outlook have really good spam filters. I don't know what client everybody uses, or you can buy, if you really want industrial strength, you can get email like Airmail. I think it has like a really great Bayesian spam mm-hmm. filter in it, I think.
There's SpamSieve.
Yeah.
Which has plugins for most clients, you know, any client that supports plugins. It does a good job. So, requires a little bit more setup, but.
It does, and
like you said, you know, the built-in rules that Gmail has now, they're getting really good.
Yeah, the crazy thing, I saw a statistic. It was like 97% of all email is actually junk mail. I hope that statistic is not correct, but that was from some white paper I saw with Google. How bad it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's
it's bad.
300 billion emails sent every day.
Yes, and I usually
90% of that is junk.
Ugh. Yeah, that's just scary, isn't it? So, all right, and Sarah says she is the queen of decluttering, and that is absolutely true. So, all right, we're going to go back to the boards. Back to the boards. I don't know why I call it that, but it just anyway. All right, so
back to the dandruff.
Back to the dandruff. There's the snowflakes. There is the dandruff for Paul. Are you excited now? Yeah. Little flakes, which is way more snow than I've ever seen. So, number five. Filter your emails. Emails where you're in the to or the CC fields are probably more important than lists. Use server-side filters so you can have the same emails on all your devices. That is so true. And if you really are never going to read it, unsubscribe already.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that first one, that's something that I do at work because I get added to so many lists because of just bureaucratical reasons. And, you know, I get thousands of emails a day, and there's no way I could stay on top of all of that. Most of it is stuff that doesn't even matter. And so I have set up server-side rules. I was able to get access to actually go onto the servers and set up server-side rules. And the default is a message goes into another folder. I've got just a bulk folder set up. And by default, an email message is going to end up in that folder. If I'm in the to field or if I'm in the CC field, then, okay, it gets to stay in the inbox. And then there's like a dozen different lists that if an email to one of those lists gets to stay in the inbox. But 98% at least of the email that I get, I never even see. Because it goes into this other folder, and the only reason I will go look through that folder is because somebody mentions an email that went out to some random list that I need to know something from, and okay, I'll go find it. Or if IT calls me up and says, hey, we're trying to move your account to another partition. Could you do something about this 32 gigabyte mailbox? Okay, I'll go in and do what I can to delete it, to delete stuff, clean it up.
I would just tell them, just accidentally delete my mailbox. And then I didn't get any emails. It was a terrible, tragic thing happened.
Exactly. Yeah. If you get rid of it accidentally, then I haven't violated record retention.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Because, I have to keep emails around, even if I haven't read them.
Yes. Yes. I am familiar with retention rules. Yes. Or even crazy ones like you can only keep email that's 1 year old. And we're going to automatically delete any emails older than a year. And you're not supposed to download copies of emails. But anyway, all right. That's not a topic for this show. We'll go to the next one.
That is an advanced level of email management that you should really have a lawyer on for that episode.
Yes, definitely need a lawyer for email retention, document retention discussions. So, Colder, how about take a few minutes and tell us about your website?
Sure. So I've been blogging for 8, almost 9 years now at colderreed.com. I talk about personal growth and productivity. I see these to be kind of two sides of the same coin. Productivity is the tactical stuff where you are, how do you get in and put out the fires as they pop up? How do you plan your day? How do you prioritize the tasks that come in? How do you figure out how much you can get done? How do you get it done quickly without wasting time? And then the personal growth stuff kind of starts off with, well, let's take productivity, these day-to-day tactics, and just take a step back. And instead of spending all of our time putting out fires, what if we step back and ask ourselves why these fires are breaking out so much? Because the best way to put out a fire is to just never let it start in the first place. And so that's where the personal growth side kind of starts, is longer-term productivity. And then it's looking at, okay, everything that you're doing day to day, where do you want that to take you? Where do you want your days to lead you? Where do you want to end up? So really, the goal for me is I want to help people get the day to day out of the way so that they can stop chasing the dream and start living the dream. Because we put this off so much. We get caught up in the thick of thin things. Putting out the latest fire that's popped up, handling the latest request that's come in. And if we're not careful, we can end up spending all of our time helping other people work on their dreams, but not having any time for ourselves to work on our dreams.
Are you
familiar? That's why I want to help people avoid it.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the concept of eating the frog?
Yep.
So I've been trying to learn this concept because, It's the concept is eating the frog. So take the thing that's like the hardest thing of your day and do that first, as opposed to cheating and doing all the easy stuff first, because that puts that's just a way to procrastinate those hard things. But if you get those hard things out, a lot of times I procrastinate because I am like thinking of all the work that's going to be involved doing the hard things. But if I jump into them and get them done first, then I have more time to do the easy things. And of course that doesn't have anything to do with email, unless checking your email is the hard thing for you because it contains so much misery.
There are so many deferred tasks that I don't want to face again.
Anna says, we were talking about junk mail. She says, I believe it. There's so much junk. Yeah. We're talking about the percentage of email junk. And then Sarah said, unsubscribe from my channel. No, she actually said,
bye Sarah.
No, she said, no, not the Rory, of course. And if you're watching a replay of this, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. That lets YouTube know that you like my stuff. And when I'm actually on point and doing tech stuff, as opposed to Vlogmas, which got me in trouble with vidIQ today. By the way, they do channel audits, and I made the mistake of submitting my channel today. I've been submitting it for months, and they never picked my channel. They picked it today. And of course, my channel is so full of Vlogmas because I said in November, okay, I'm going to do Vlogmas every single day. And that, of course, distracted away from my tech message. But, hey, that's how life goes, right? But anyway, so I'm going to do a reaction video tomorrow about that. Anyway, and then Steve Worthy, love that. Start living our dreams. Absolutely, Coulter. Definitely, if we can find ways to be more productive in our lives, then it's definitely going to allow us to have more time, you know, to focus on living.
Don't. There's no reason to put your, you know, to do all your work up front. And then when you're done with all of your work, then you can live the dream.
Yep.
Because you're never done with all the work.
That's true. Right. We're going to go back to the boards. We only made it to five. Wow. This is going to be my record long episode. Anyway.
All right.
Okay. Number six, sort your inbox appropriately. Focus on what needs your attention.
Yeah. By default, most clients are set up so that, you know, the newest messages appear at the top. And so then that's kind of what you go through. But depending on what you're doing, you know, there might be a better way that you can sort it. You know, maybe you want to flip that. And so you have the oldest messages at the top. So you're working through your inbox like a queue. Maybe you need to, see all of the messages from one particular sender together. And so, you know, sort it by sender. There are different ways that you can sort your inbox, and, you know, most recent messages first might not be the most useful way to get through it. There might be something else you could do to get through your inbox more quickly.
Yeah. Number seven, take advantage of search. So you know the email from a specific person has an attachment. Search on that email and specify it has an attachment. So, or narrow the date range if you can. So I get emails from certain people, but the emails that I know are important for what I'm working on today have an attachment. So I don't need the 14 emails where we talked about, I'm going to send you an attachment. I need the email where they actually did send me an attachment. So
yeah. That's,
you know, very neat that you can do filters like that.
Yeah. And if you use, you know, the web interface to Gmail, it has an awesome search feature. Google's very good at search and helping you find the specific messages. You know, the client that you have, learn how its search works. You know, they can all search for something. You know, if you just type something in, it's going to search the entire message.
Yeah.
But, you know, learn how to search for messages from a particular person or messages that were sent to this person and this person because you know you emailed both of them together. Like you mentioned, messages from this person with an attachment because you need to review the files that they've sent you. Search is a very powerful and flexible way to dig through and, you know, help, let your mail client help you find the message rather than just, you know, sitting down, rolling up your sleeves and just reading through a big, long list of all of the emails you've ever received, trying to find that one from January 24th of 2014, which is going to be a ways back by now.
That is true. I think my oldest email at work is 2003, but we won't talk about that. But a lot of the email clients have an advanced search option. So if you are not really good at doing regular expressions or the search syntax, then go hit that advanced search button. And it's usually got an option to do a to or a from and type keywords you might find it. So those are things that can help you. Take advantage of that. Number eight, set up folders to organize your email. Now, somebody mentioned that they use folders for organizing. Maybe your boss should have, you know, their own folder. So I have a folder where my boss's emails land because I was having a problem with, you know, we changed email systems. And so his emails strangely kept falling to the bottom of my list and I never saw them. So I finally said, okay, here's a filter, here's a folder. I will see his emails. I will not miss them because I know that I've got to make sure he's happy. So,
yeah. And the point of organizing your email like this is to make it easier to find it again when you need it. It's not, oh, this is one. So you have one more thing that you have to do when an email comes in. Like, oh, there, I have to file this. That's more work. Stupid email. Be less worky. One of the limitations that this may have is, you know, depending on what, on where the email account is, you might only be able to file it in one place, but there might be more than one thing you want to file it under. So like, Gmail is actually is one of the this is one of the things that Gmail just nailed, and they got it right, because they instead of having folders that you file a message into, they just have labels that you put on it. And so, yeah, this is an email from your boss. You can tag it with, you know, management chain. And, oh, so this is about the Parkinson project. So you can tag it Parkinson project. And, you know, whatever taxonomy you need to use that, you know, that makes sense for you, you can apply as many labels as you need to. One of the places where this approach does fall down is if you're using a server that only lets you put it into one folder. Because then if there's two reasons why you need to fold it or to file it, well, which folder do you put it into? And you be consistent, you know, whatever you do. And I'll also mention that some mail clients, like the built-in client on Mac OS, you can create saved searches, which kind of act like folders that messages just automatically sort themselves into. And that can be a way to help you even triage the incoming email. Instead of working through your inbox, set up a smart search that is messages from people in my management chain that came in today. And then you just have that short, relatively short list that you can get, you know, of these high profile, you know, clients that you can make sure you get a response to real quick before you dive into it and see what's left in your inbox.
Yeah. That's good advice. Good advice. Number nine, create templates for quick responses. Maybe a template for polite thanks but no thanks. Or Gmail and Outlook both now have canned responses that a little bit of their AI will come in and say, oh, here's a response that might be useful there. And so you can take some of their canned responses to speed up the process of responding to people. And so that's a very helpful way. But I use a thanks but no thanks a lot for salespeople who reach out to me who won't take, I didn't reply to your email for an answer, and they keep emailing me, and there's no unsubscribe, which is rude. There should always be an unsubscribe. If you're cold calling me or cold emailing me, there should be an unsubscribe. So,
yeah, but you're not on a list at that point.
I hate Salesforce. Anyway, Salesforce and LinkedIn will sell your soul to anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, I have a response like this that I use with recruiters that cold contact me on LinkedIn.
Yep.
I've got a macro set up in Text Expander. I hit reply, just a couple of keystrokes. There's a form. I can just like enter their name and I send this back. It's a nice, you know, it's like three paragraphs. It looks like I spent a lot of time giving them a really thoughtful response. And I did put a lot of thought into this response like 10 years ago.
Has aged
and now well. I can just use it. Yeah. Yeah. You can go back, you can edit these at any time, update them if you need to.
There you go. All right. This is the top 10 list. So here we go. Number 10, use other tools when the only tool you have is a hammer. Everything starts to look like a nail. So what are some alternatives? How can I escape the nightmare?
There are things that email is good at, and there are things that email is terrible at. Email is good at creating a record. Yeah, we mentioned record retention earlier. It creates a record of the conversation. You can go back later and you can check it to see what somebody said or, you know, to see the document that they sent you. It is not good at having conversations. You know, if you ever find yourself like, you know, reply, you know, somebody sends you an email and you reply, give an answer, and then a minute or two later, you get a reply from them. And so, okay, let me continue the conversation. Let me hit reply. And pretty soon you're just hitting reply back and forth in email. You know, now you're having a conversation. It's real time. At that point, just, you know, start texting them. Go on Slack and talk to them. Walk over to their office if they're not too far away. Email is not good at picking up tone because it's a written form of communication. You know, tone and nuance can get lost. And so if you're talking about something that might be a little bit heated, just go talk to them, have that in-person conversation where there's, you know, where you're actually interacting with them. You're sending so much more information than just the words because, you know, body language, inflection, you know, all that stuff. Schedule a meeting. It's actually funny sometimes how just the simple threat of having a meeting to sit down and talk about something can get people to be more responsive to an email thread. It's kind of funny the way that that works. Email is not good at sharing information. How many times have you been on a thread and you know somebody gets added to the thread, and so you're like, oh, I need to bring in Sarah to this conversation, and so I hit reply all, add Sarah, and then you know send my reply. But in the meantime, you know, Roy just replied all, and our messages passed, and so now Roy's reply doesn't have Sarah on it. So now somebody has to realize this and do a reply all again just to loop Sarah into the new email. And at the same time, Roy's thinking like, oh, Marcus needs to be on this conversation. And it's a nightmare. And it shows you just, this is one of the limitations of email. Sarah mentioned some of these like collaboration and delegation features that Spark has added to email. I'm pretty sure that they're going out of band. They're not actually working on email at that point. They have added additional tools to Spark to go out of band to provide a little bit more collaboration. This is one of the advantages that like Slack and Teams offers. If you need to add somebody to a conversation on Slack, they've got the full. You just add them, and they've got the full history of the conversation right there. There's no other reply that happened that they weren't on the thread for. You know, they've already got everything. And so, you know, email does have its purposes, but you know, understand what its limitations are and when you're better off putting the email away and picking up one of these other tools. Yeah. Even if it's, you know, going and you know, having a face-to-face conversation with somebody, like it's pre-COVID.
I'm actually thankful that email doesn't allow me to fully express my tone oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you ever use Eudora?
I did use Eudora.
Eudora had that Peppers rating where it would analyze the tone of what you were sending, and if you scored 3 Peppers, it would warn you and said, "Hey, are you sure you want to send this as is? You want to rephrase anything there?"
I didn't mean to send that in all caps, but I really meant what I said. But then then the other part, I would love a feature consistently anyway where I can remove myself from a thread. Hey, you know, the conversation doesn't include me anymore. Why are you still replying all? Please take me off this thread. I don't want anything else to do with this.
And yeah, people who don't understand how to remove themselves from self-add lists. Don't reply all saying, can somebody take me off of this list?
Yes.
No, the only person who can take you off of the list is you.
Yes.
And here's how you do it. But once one person does it, then everybody else starts doing it because we think, oh, well, if somebody's going to remove them from the list, oh, I want to be removed from the list too.
Yeah. And then
we have actually buckled email servers at work from those threads that go out of control with people asking to be removed and people trying to helpfully explain that's not how it works. Yeah, we actually had to take an email server offline for a couple of hours and let one of those die down.
Wow. We're all going to take a timeout. We're going to shut down email.
Everybody just sit at your desk and think about what you've done.
I love it. That's awesome. I need to take advantage of that option. So,
When you control the email server, you control the power.
Blind Guy's got another comment. He says, I've added about 20 new apps since last year. Slack, Trello, GQs. It's added a learning curve to communication. So, yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating. So I'll give you an example on our phones where, you know, Android doesn't support the same kind of protocols that iMessage does. And so you'd have a problem where somebody on an Android phone would get a text message just and it wouldn't handle MMS correctly. And all the text messages wound up being out of context because they're the Android users were having that problem. And luckily, Google's added some features to the Android version of their messaging app. And so it's definitely much more responsive. And now you can, of course, it does make me crazy when people like a text message. I don't need you to do that. Just, this isn't Instagram. Just, you know, if you got to reply, but that's just me. But anyway, but yeah, I completely agree with you that it's just so hard to communicate these days because there's so many options and it's literally what messaging app are you using? Okay, let me go over to that one and use that one because that's your communication app. So I'm in this world between Google Meet and Teams and Slack and
And texting and Facebook and email and
Facebook and yeah.
WhatsApp and Signal and
yes. Well, you know,
what service does this person prefer? Right. And you just got to keep this map of who uses what.
Oh, it's crazy. And I have a lot of international friends. And so WhatsApp is their preferred app, or maybe not their preferred, but definitely the one that they default to.
The one they use, yeah.
And so I use it a lot. And, you know, but then I'll get a text message from somebody and I'm like, you know, that thread technically should have been this WhatsApp group. It would have been cool if you download the WhatsApp app and communicate with them directly instead of I'm now suddenly the gateway between you and them. I'll copy your message into their thread. Okay, here's what so-and-so said. Okay, thank you for the answer. Here you go. Here's the text message. Just download WhatsApp. So anyway, now it is craziness. In the modern day, there's so many apps. And then we could talk about security. And, you know, earlier this year, I've had so many episodes where I talked about security and encryption, that type of thing. So WhatsApp does finally have end-to-end encryption. And so I feel a little more better about it. But there's definitely other apps out there. So it's, again, how much privacy do you want? Mm-hmm. How much paranoia of security do you want? You know, were you worried about your personal information? And so, and actually, it's quite interesting what people reveal via email. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Coulter, thank you so much for being on the show. That was a really great list. I really
absolutely.
I learned some things, and also I was reminded of some things that I knew, but have stubbornly refused to accept because I'm so email centric, and so I'm going to have to work on that. Spend some time in front of the mirror as I'm composing email messages, saying to myself, I really need to put this phone down and only check email on my work computer or my personal computer and not look at so much email on my phone, because I am one of those people that has to fill every moment with something. And now cell phones make that possible.
Yeah.
So that's a wrap. Thank you so much, sir. That was a great episode. I hope everybody that watched enjoyed it. I hope you learned something, everybody, from this.
Joining us, everybody.
Yeah, I'll definitely have some information in the show notes. I like to have good information in the show notes. And if those of you that listen to this on my podcast, the One-Off Technology Podcast, I'm going to take a little break until about mid-January on the podcast, and then there'll be new episodes. And I'm probably going to take a little break here on my live streaming on Tuesday nights, maybe. I don't know. I'm pretty much addicted to that too, so I may have to stick with it. But anyway, I haven't fallen off the planet Earth. I'm still here. I'm just going to take a short break because I'm working on big plans for next year. 2022 is going to be the year for my YouTube channel as well as for the podcast. There's going to be some enhancements, some changes, some improvements, and I have a goal list. There's somebody presented something really interesting to me on Facebook where they said, make a bunch of goals, but then pick the top five and then focus on those five. And then if you accomplish those, then you can go on to others. So, and Sarah says, great stream, guys. Thank you, everybody that came by. I am so thankful to everybody that came by and chatted with us, had comments. It's always a fun episode when there's a crowd here. And so thank you. And definitely great information, Coulter. Thank you. I'm looking forward. I know you said you got some big things coming here in the future. And so on your website, so you probably, everybody needs to go run out to Coulter's website and bookmark it to make sure when he comes out.
Yeah, go to the website. I've got links to the YouTube channel up at the top of the page. Stay tuned. Fun stuff coming in 2022.
Yep. All right. So that's it. Thanks everybody. And Coulter says, thanks for everybody coming. Yep. Thanks everybody. Thanks everybody for coming and good night. Let's hit that outro button. Yeah! Thanks for watching! Bye!
This is the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.